I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
Hey Zed Heads, welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Lucy.
And I'm Veronica.
And we are going through your feedback on The Walking Dead, Daryl Dixon, Season 2, Episode 5, Vouloir Se Pouvoir. And I was thinking, I think I might have actually stole this from an article on Screen Rant or something, but if the Super Zeds really do just like kill all, like, two Super Zeds killed like 30 zombies in like 10 seconds or whatever it was, you know, something like that. Maybe they should try using the Super Zeds to kill all the other Zeds. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
Smart.
Absolutely.
It could get out of hand. You have to do some kind of controlled thing somehow.
Like pest control. Just sort of.
But I guess just thinking about, yeah, like the giant herds and stuff. If you just. Mm-hmm. Sort
let
of
a few loose
one,
in there.
One or two at a time into
see
those.
How it goes. Yeah. It'd be fun to watch anyway.
Yeah. Maybe they'll do that.
Yeah.
Well, surely they will, right?
Do that. Greg Nicotero always listens to the podcast. Yeah. So.
Hi, Greg.
Hi, Greg. Nice to have you there. All right. Let's get into this week's feedback. Veronica, want to go first?
Sure. So we have from Andy Fisher, Sigh. 5 pizzas in a ring.
I think that I means he didn't like it. You know, yeah. So it's interesting because a lot of people write in before they hear our take and then some after. So it's interesting to see what people think on their own before they listen to us and then what they thought of our take. I feel like Andy just immediately posted that right after he watched.
Carly Jackson says, I'm trying to start a freelance career as a book editor for science fiction and fantasy. Well done, Carly. That's awesome. You'd have a lot to say about that, Jason. You edited, right?
I wanted to edit. I only edited, like, spelling books for third graders.
Sorry, you just made that mistake.
I wrote, like, you know, Johnny went to pick some apples or stuff like that.
I found that really moving. anyway, Carly goes on to say, and all I want to do is go through every plot point this season and point out how it could be better. I can only focus on one nitpick per day. Today, my nitpick is that Carol spent months sailing. Why doesn't she find a boat and sail back to America? Oh, Carly, good point. She got Michonne's comic book story. She did spend months sailing.
What? Yeah. Carol?
After Henry died.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about
Daryl
that.
Daryl hadn't seen her in a long time. Yeah.
Yep.
Well,
yeah, she went
she was
to the
on
sea.
The boat.
No.
Did she pick up a thing or two? Maybe.
You'd think so. She was gone for that long.
Yeah.
Surely.
That's true. I totally, totally forgot about that. That just went out of my mind and never came back until just now. Yep. Carly, I think, has a podcast about, like, reviewing books or something. Carly, let us know.
Amazing.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Navarda Wright says, I'm so conflicted. I want to love this show, but it's an anticlimax each week. Just such bad writing and spots with conversations that feel hollow a lot of the time. I did enjoy the fighting this episode and the zombie-on-zombie action that we didn't get to see ripped off. The gamer equivalent of a rabbit hole. You just have to imagine it. Oh, like reading a book. So it tracks. Book of Carol. Ha ha. I hadn't thought about it that way as like a way of not having to show us, because we didn't really talk about the details where they're sitting in the car, the windows are kind of fogged over, and you just see blood splatter and hear the noise. And I thought it was actually a pretty cool effect. But now that Novarda puts it this way, I'm like, maybe they were saving some money too.
Yeah, I still liked it. Like, I was so angry on first watch that they were in that situation.
Yeah.
But then, like, on the second watch, putting that aside, like, it was a cool scene from the inside of the car with the blood splatter. So, like, even if they were saving money, I feel like it was still, to me, a good payoff. Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes limitations can actually cause you to do something better or good, you know?
Necessity is the mother of invention.
So, from Becky Anderson, this episode was much better than last week's, despite some really moments. For example, the whole car, Mutant Zed's nonsense, and every scene with Lo Sang except when he died. Enjoyed all the Cadrone scenes and how great he was with Laurent. Glad to see Daryl get to mourn Issa a little bit this week. As usual, the settings were incredible and glad to see a couple one more time before they move on. Poor Ash. I hope they all make it back to America and he has a chance to flourish in one of the communities there. Falou for president.
What percentage chance would you guys say Ash has of living?
I'm buying Peter's theory that Ash and Laurent are going to fly off at the end of the next episode. Fly off.
You know, I think that would make sense, but based on their track record, everyone that they give us enough insight into that's not Daryl, Carol, or Laurent, as soon as we care about them, they kill them off.
Yeah.
And so I feel like it's probably a pretty high percentage that that's what they do. He'll forgive Carol the moment as he's dying.
Of course.
All make sense to him why she lied, and he'll try to give them their blessing, but his plane won't work or something crazy.
I hope he dies cursing her, you know. I always hate
that. Would be
you.
Better. Yeah.
I give it like 20% chance he'll make it to next season. 25.
Sweepstake. Jack Shandy says, "Hi, Dr. Lucy and his honorable Jason. Happy Jack from Victoria here to throw in my two cents. Firstly, Isabel will not be coming back as a walker. I noticed that after she died, Carol did indeed put her hand on Daryl's shoulder, but just before we fade to commercial, she takes out her knife. This to me implies that she will perform the head poke on Daryl's behalf."
I totally missed
Secondly,
that. Interesting.
"I believe Carol is lying to Daryl with what she said was back. I think she feels if Daryl knows that Rick is alive and back, then he may decide not to return to the US because Judith and RJ will be okay. Just my thoughts. Awesome job as always, you guys. Cheers and don't get bit."
Well, Carol never lies, so I don't think so.
Neither would surprise me is where I'm at with it.
Yeah, I guess I'm there too. I didn't think Melissa McBride really played it that way, but that doesn't mean they won't change it, retcon it, because they always do stuff like that.
Well, indeed.
Dre Minoni says, "I did like this one more than the previous two. I felt like we saw quiet moments of Daryl being Daryl with his grief. We saw Carol have to come clean and a realistic response to it via Ash. Those were good moments." I totally agree. "I really was confused by the rage zombies killing the normal zombies. That whole scene didn't make sense to me. But I mean, I am watching a zombie show, so pick your battles, right? I have a feeling Carol and Daryl will somehow be left behind to fend for themselves." Yeah, they're not going back to America. Guess we will find out on Sunday. Oh, one more thing. Y'all mentioned whether Daryl had ever lied, and I feel like he pretended to be back with Leah when he was trying to get insider info on Pope. Or am I misremembering that history? Anyway, can't wait for the next one." You're totally right. I thought about that.
Yep, you are correct.
When he, especially when he was pretending, I don't know if he was lying to Leah, maybe, but he was definitely lying to Pope, pretending to be loyal to Pope and part of their group to the point where he actually went through with torturing one of Maggie's guys, Foster, I think his name was, chopped off his finger, and just to sell to Pope that he was part of his, really part of his gang. And I was sort of thinking, yeah, he also likes torturing people, so maybe he didn't really care.
That whole storyline was trash. Yeah.
It really was. That was like The Walking Dead channeling Fear the Walking Dead, I thought.
Something I haven't wanted to remark upon because I like Falou so much is that Falou wears Pope's hat. He has like a stupid little Pope hat. Peter pointed it out and I'm like, damn it.
He's redeeming it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's bringing it back. I mean, he's French, so it's chic, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it looks good. I do.
Yeah, exactly. He pulls off. Pope just looked dumb.
All right. Here's a call from Enwin.
Enwin.
Hi, Jason and Lucy. It's Enwin. Wow, what a great episode. My favorite part was when Aragorn, Legolas, and Gimli were going through the paths of the dead and they killed all of the minions. Oh, no, wait, that's a different movie. This was actually quite a shit episode. You know me, I'm usually pretty positive, but
yeah,
it's just getting ridiculous. I really felt like I was hate watching last week and this week. And to be honest, the only really good thing was how awesome Ash's hair looked after he'd been in a zombie-surrounded car for 2 days. The writing, I just think, is all over the place. People show up at a place when it's convenient for plot, even if it makes no sense whatsoever. The idea that Lothian could have any chance of really taking Daryl on in any kind of fair fight when he's been just hanging out in a pretty much like a monastery for however many years. Yeah, I know he's been training with the bow staff, but still, it was nonsense. But the laugh...
I don't understand. He's been training with the staff. He's been shown to be able to beat up all his guys. He challenged...
For me, I just didn't...
Daryl to a fight, and Daryl said no. Sold it.
Yeah, you're right, Jason. Like, they did establish storyline, but my problem was I just didn't, like... I didn't buy that actor as a bad guy, and so I just, like, I don't know. I couldn't... He wasn't selling it to me that he was...
I know, we saw him kick ass and then he fought Daryl and I'm like, what else could they possibly do to make us buy that he could kick ass besides showing him kicking ass? Okay, anyway, here we go.
The most laughable part was the place that they chose for Laurent to hide with one little plank going across and nobody saw him. I mean, come on.
It was dark.
Yeah. It was ridiculous.
They had torches.
Anyway, I guess there's only one more episode to put up with, and I really hope they do something about the writing for season 3 because I just think it's gone sideways. Anyway, maybe you guys can make me feel more positive about the episode. Thank you so much for all that you do. Bye.
Role reversal. She's usually
we have failed you.
The positive one. Well, I don't think she listened to our podcast, but we'll see. Maybe.
Okay.
Okay, Beth Perry says, I didn't realize Lothian was part of a mule turning bad and trying to kill Daryl, but Falou confirms it. I thought they would kill Falou to prove a point and make Laurent come out. Favorite line, what, do you have the hots for him? Mm-hmm. The writing works with for their banter. I agree with that. Poor Laurent having to carry the weight of all those deaths and destruction. I'm not here for the gore, but watching the exploding zombies was cool. They just need to gather thousands of zombies into a stadium and turn two of these things loose. Yeah, just like you said. Lothian is dead now. They're clearly tying up loose ends to go to Spain soon. I wonder if Daryl and Anna in the bar clinking glasses about America not being run by fascists was intentional with all the election a week away. I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Laurent decides to go with Daryl. Good. Go get your shit. Let's go. Daryl really knows how to talk to kids.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, I really miss Isabel. You can see Daryl's sadness when she comes up. I really want him to find love.
Yeah, I miss her too.
I think that's what I'm the most angry about this season, is it felt really cheap to finally give Daryl that like romance and that kiss and then immediately kill her off.
Yeah.
I wish they'd spaced that a little more. I mean, I wish they'd kept her because I love that actress and liked their dynamic. But at least if they were going, I understand making room for Carol, but it was just too fast.
Yeah. They, I mean,
it's also six episodes.
They didn't have to. It kind of reminds me, you know, of when T-Dog died and then they brought in Tyrese, and then I think Tyrese died and they brought in Bob or something like that, where it really felt like, oh, they're killing off a black character and bringing in a new black character. And there was a lot of criticism for The Walking Dead of that. And, you know, you could debate whether that was true or not. There were more white characters that died on the show, but it just didn't feel good, you know, whether it was true or not. Mm. I'm not saying I think whether it was true or not, but either way, like, same thing here. It's like, feels like they brought Carol in and they decided to kill Isabel off because Carol came. And maybe that's not true. We don't really know for sure. Maybe they had planned to kill Isabel off at this point the whole time, but the way they did it, it felt like that and made us resent Carol's presence. And that wasn't a good way to do it, whether they had planned to kill. They should have, if they had planned to kill Isabel off mid-season, they should have waited just because of this, you know, so that it wouldn't feel like that, because it's just not a good feeling. And there is the thing about appreciating The Walking Dead for killing off beloved characters, because then it makes the show feel like, oh, there are stakes here and you got to kind of be afraid for people. I mean, I always said that about The Walking Dead early on, even with Glenn and Abraham. But on the other side of that coin, yeah, I miss Isabel. She was such a great character. It would have been great to see how she developed.
Next up, we've got Natalie Collins. Is CICT where she's from? I don't have to read
that's
that
bit. Her, I think, because Natalie, I know her because when I worked at Walker Stalker, she was a translator. So she'd be on stage doing sign language.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. And it was really fun because, like, Michael Cudlitz would make her like, oh, this, he'd be like, there was big giant explosions and the cosmos, just trying to see how she would play things out, you know? And then Michael Rooker would make her say nasty things. But anyway.
Tale of two Michaels. One is nice, the other is not. Yeah, you can guess which one is which.
Anyway, that's how I know her. And I think that might be how she found the podcast. And I think those letters are related to that, but I could be wrong.
That's awesome. One of the coolest really things cool. I ever saw was when I went to Chicago and I went to Second City Improv. They had two live signers and I was like, signing improv, holy cow. I spent most of my time watching them rather than the improv because they were so amazing.
Gotta be funny, because they also, I noticed, they try to sign with the same energy of what's being said, so I think comedy would look maybe a little
it was
more
brilliant. It was absolutely outstanding. Energetic. I would love, oh my gosh, you should do a listener talk with Natalie. That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
I love seeing the videos of like concerts like Megan Thee Stallion or Cardi B and the sign language interpreters for the concerts, and they like really get into it and they're having to sign like really, you know, dirty lyrics. But it's really fun.
I love that. Oh my goodness. Well, Natalie says, so you lied. Nah, I'm coming. Carol, you can con everyone else, but not Daryl. Oh no, Ash, wake up. I love the opening theme and visuals. I never fast forward through it.
Me neither.
Out of the mouth of babes, she loved you. Laurent trying to process his grief is tragic but beautiful. Hooray, more demi-monde. Happy to see Caudron. Damn Rubik's Cube. Impassioned speech by Losang. Falou is the best. Please make it to the end of the season. Risky Daryl and wonderfully grotesque. At least you guys don't fall for fascists, grin. Oh, Ash, your heart is going to break if Carol finally comes clean. Because I don't want you to die. Aw. I'm going to miss the catacombs when they go to Spain. Lame hiding spot. Showdown. Gruesome. The truth? I'm shocked. And there it is. Broken heart. Judith is going to love Laurent. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Little teen romance there, I can imagine. Yeah.
Shipping it. Jill from Maine says, hi, Lucy and Jason. I've been a listener for years. I remember a Jill from way back. I wonder if you're the same one. He used to write in. Let me know. And she says, I quit Walking Dead for a while after they killed off Carl, but came back the last two seasons. Interesting. Now I've started watching the Daryl Dixon show because Carol's back. So I heard your recent show on season 2, episode 4, and wanted to let you know there are many of us who do ship Carol and Daryl.
Hey.
Since season 2, I have seen them as eventually getting together. I made it through Beth, Tobin, Ezekiel, the blonde woman Daryl spent time with. Can't remember the character's name. Is that Leah? Is she blonde? And now Isabel. Now I feel like we might finally get Carol and Daryl as a couple. In fact, I've always thought that the show should end with those two together riding off on a motorcycle or walking off into the woods. Now who knows if it will ever really end. It has to end at some point because we're all getting older. There's only so old you can get. I'll just put it that way. It has annoyed me and others I know that people call them platonic or describe their relationship like a mother and son. Melissa McBride is 59 and Norman Reedus is 55. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. On the other hand, Clement's Poesie, because I was thinking, no, he's around my age. And then I'm like, oh yeah, I'm old now. On the other hand, Clement's Poesie, Isabel, is 42 and Emily Kinney is 40. So, wow, Emily Kinney is 40. Mm-hmm. I am old. So I do feel like some misogyny is coming into play if we see Carol as a mother figure for Daryl. I don't see her as that anymore. I feel like they're brother sister, but I think you're right that people have said things like that. She goes, anyway, I don't want to sound too crazy. I know it's just a show, but there is a fairly large part of the Walking Dead audience who do want Carol, K-C-A-R-Y-L, to be endgame. So if it does happen, be happy for us. Thanks for the podcast. Well, if it happens, I will try to be happy for you. I promise.
I love that we got a Carol shipper writing in. We don't get so many. So it's nice to hear from someone who is a shipper. So yeah, thank you for writing in.
Ditto.
I think the reason it's not anything about thinking Melissa McBride looks too old for Norman. I think it was just initially in their relationship, she did act, I don't know, almost a little motherly to him. I mean, it was early Carol, right? Before she sort of became a badass and more sarcastic. And she just had more of a sort of like, I don't know.
Nurturing.
I could see it then.
Yeah.
He was like a wounded child.
Yeah, I think that's it, isn't it? It's not so much her being too old, it's him coming off as quite young.
Yeah.
Not in a visual way, but like.
But then it was reversed, though, pretty early on, you know, with the Cherokee Rose and everything.
Yeah.
I just really love, like, that they have been like you can love someone platonically that way. And I think for me, that's the only reason I haven't wanted to see them together, just because I think it's really beautiful to show that type of bond that can happen. And it doesn't always have to end in romantic love. But
yeah,
I'll be happy for the shippers, I guess. Try to be.
Yeah.
And I mean, early on, I think I was probably more supportive of it, but I just know that most of the time, when you settle into a friendship with someone, it's pretty rare to change that to not platonic, but it does happen. Like I know one of my grandma's friends, like she was friends with these two couples for her whole life since high school. And when the two couples, each of their spouses passed away, then they ended up together.
that makes any sense.
And I always thought, oh, that is so weird. I don't think of them as together, but hey, it happens.
Yeah. That's cute. Sometimes it's about companionship, especially later on. It can be about like, well, it's like the fucking Dee Dee and blah blah from the French house Theo. Last week. Yeah, that's the one.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue one last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF, Donnelly Stewart Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue one last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
Where are we?
France.
Audrey.
Oh, literally, actually. It's, yeah, sorry, Audrey. Yeah, we are literally.
I think it's Veronica Stern, right? I would say Laurencine.
Audrey Laurenson. Hello, I'm French, and I love listening to your podcast after every viewing. I wanted to write to you specifically about Mont-Saint-Michel. A few episodes ago, you were wondering what the survivors were searching for in the sand. First of all, Mont-Saint-Michel is an island located in the ocean and is only accessible at low tide for a few hours every day. The island is also known for its quicksand. It is therefore dangerous to cross without a guide and outside of marked paths, although it is entirely possible. You can even take a short course to learn how to get out of quicksand with local specialists. It's really cool, right?
Like, I love you hear that.
Encounter quicksand in real life.
How do you get out?
Yeah. Audrey's keeping that one close to her chest.
I mean, don't struggle, but that just means you sink slower, right?
Right.
More slowly.
Logically, in the post-apocalyptic world of the series, the bay should be infested with walkers. Mm-hmm. At low tide, it's also possible to fish for clams, mussels, and oysters. Ooh. So that's probably what they were out there getting.
Yeah. Mm.
As for the show, I'm super happy to see Daryl and Carol again, even though the series is highly inconsistent. What amuses us here is that we don't always understand the French characters who speak English. Do you understand what they're saying? Yes. And I love I love a French accent speaking English. It's beautiful. It's also very unlikely to encounter so many French people who speak fluent English, given that the French are famously known for not speaking English well at all, especially older people and kids. Also, I won't dwell on the implausibility of the characters' travel times from one city to another. Mm-hmm. Anyway, thank you so much for your podcast, and à bientôt. I don't know if that's the right way to pronounce it. And then P.S. Yes, I used ChatGPT to translate my email. Wow, it did really
cool
job.
Goodness.
I mean, that was
ChatGPT is getting more
and
more scarily
English.
Amazing.
Yeah,
really. That's good. Amazing, Audrey.
Yeah, thank you
for writing in, Audrey. Yeah, we love hearing from you. Hope you write in again. Here's a call from Jonathan Olivares.
What's up, Jason, Lucy, Veronica?
Yo.
This is Johnny from Texas. I thought this was a good episode. My favorite part has to be where they saved Ash from the car, surrounded by the walkers. It was interesting to see how they would get out of a situation like that. And once Daryl found the gun with that concoction, I was immediately able to see how they were going to do that. Also, I'm excited to see what Ash will do now that he mentioned that four of them won't be able to travel back to the U.S. I'm worried for Laurent and Carol. I'm worried for everybody, really, all four of them. I don't know why I feel that Daryl or Carol will be driven to kill Ash. This is very interesting how they're going to end season two. I have to finish getting my Michael Myers mask ready for this week, so I hope y'all have a great rest of the week. Have a great Halloween. Happy Halloween, everyone. Don't get bit.
Thanks, Johnny from Texas.
Thanks, Johnny.
He didn't mention this, but getting his Michael Myers mask ready actually has nothing to do with Halloween.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't know. I don't know what the noise in the background was, but it just felt perfect that Johnny from Texas sounded like he was in a big truck.
Yeah.
it was just perfect.
I miss big trucks, man. That was the biggest culture shock coming back to the UK was how small all the cars are here.
Oh, they're all so small.
Yeah.
We're so tiny. Ridiculous with our giant cars.
It's ridiculous. Like we had when Jason was over, we had a BMW. Peter and I were like, this car's enormous. And it really wasn't.
We crammed in there like sardines.
Oh
all
my
five
gosh,
of us.
It was awful. If we'd crashed the car, we would have been fine because like there was no space to move. Like we would have all just been fine.
Yeah. When we went to France, we got like the upgraded large SUV and it was the equivalent of like a small compact SUV here, and that was like their biggest car.
It's like a Fiat 500.
Scooters and little smart cars everywhere.
Yeah.
It's wild. Oh my goodness. Oh, Wyman Owen. I'm struggling here. Throughout my whole Walking Dead universe journey, I've done my absolute best to enjoy all things. I even finished Fear. Therapy is going well for your information. But this second season is in such low atmosphere compared to the first. I can't even see what the main story point is. I don't think the show can either. Save Laurent, Carol meets Daryl, kill all the bad guys, lie to all the good guys, fly back to America. I just can't make heads or tails. Maybe I'm overthinking it. I don't know. It was super slow. I was tired already. I managed to stay awake barely, so I did see some good parts. I thoroughly enjoyed all the one-on-one conversations. Cadron and Laurent together was very sweet. People can change, just not Negan. And the close-up of the dead surrounding Ash in the car, amazing. But that's all, really all I enjoyed. I hope they saved some juice for episode 6, or this season can be chalked up as a bit of a downer. But I want to add that Lucy and Jason, along with Lara and Dina, y'all make this show much more enjoyable each week with the efforts and work you put in. I appreciate all of you, as well as the commenters and callers. Y'all challenge me to view the episodes from different angles and tend to point out things I've missed. I tip my Canadian took to all of you. Salut, eh?
Thanks, Wyman.
Oh, took. I missed that.
That's really nice. I guess I'm kind of easy because after last week's episode, the one we're talking about now, which I actually very much enjoyed, I just feel so much better about this season as a whole, even though I was so disappointed with those couple in the middle there. We'll see what next week brings.
Yeah.
As soon as we're done with this podcast, I'm going to go watch it. Billy Thompson says, hello, hello, hope you guys are well. A much better episode, in my opinion. The pacing of this episode was better. Maybe because they blasted through most of this season's story in the last two episodes. Emotions and conversations had time to breathe. Yeah, that was another thing I liked about it. Had a good pacing.
Yeah.
It might also be because the change of the characters and deaths have now happened. The turn in the show has happened. We can now see the direction the story is headed in again and on which sides the characters lie. I really enjoyed seeing the nightclub again. It reminded me how good the first season was. I also enjoyed the scene when they're all trapped in the car with the blood splattering up all the windows and the aftermath of the variants with all the moving heads and limbs. That was weird. They were all just like laying there, you know, not dead because of course the super zombies did not like attack their brains. So they were just like laying on the ground, writhing around like, ow, that really hurt.
My leg.
The fighting scenes were great this episode and it made me think who would win in a duel, Lo Sang or Morgan? Right.
Morgan doesn't die.
The Joe staff. Yeah. So Lo Sang clearly would lose. It's a fight I'd love to see. This episode was very picturesque. I think they've all been, but I didn't notice as much over the last two episodes because I was too concentrated on the poor writing. I'm happy Ash was pissed with Carol. It was a very real reaction and better writing than the last couple episodes. Mm-hmm. My prediction for the last episode, Ash and Laurent leave in the plane while Daryl and Carol help them from outside the plane. This means they can get another two characters out of the show, but in a positive way. I'm hoping if this does happen, we do eventually get a Daryl and Laurent reunion in the series finale. Still not the greatest episode, but miles better than the last two. I think a strong finale, and we're back on track. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Yay.
Bye. Well written.
From Laura Willie Swink. Hi, Laura. This episode was better than the last, though I still felt it had its faults and plenty of entries into the Department of Suspension of Disbelief. My favorite scene was the one-on-one between Cadron and Laurent. I really felt like Cadron was searching for peace, and Laurent's words to him were so kind and inspiring. He really is what this post-apocalypse needs, and not because he's the Messiah. But I swear, if this show kills this sweet, angelic boy, I am going to fucking riot.
Like,
I agree. I was also glad to watch Ash lay into Carol for her lies. Disappointingly, her confession felt hollow to me. She seemed to excuse her manipulation, justifying the lies because she is finally facing her guilt and regrets about Sophia. Like Ash said, I hope the therapy is going well because it led to him losing everything, including nearly his life. And I guess Ash was never planning on Ed flying back to the States with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On the downside, I was not as delighted with the Demimonde this time. The first time we saw it, it seemed like a cool, brief escape from the hell in the streets above, a place for artists and revolutionaries. This time it felt like a red light sex room where everyone is endlessly partying at the end of the world, ignoring the suffering of others up above and wearing hopelessly inappropriate footwear for running from and evading Zeds. And again, Daryl is feeling even more violent and bloodthirsty than we've seen him before in his fight with Lo Sang. This one gets a 3.5 skulls of French revolutionary Maximilian Rose Perrier, who I learned on my tour is one of the thousands whose remains can be found in the catacombs.
Nice, Lara. Deep cut. Very nice. Like it.
Did you go down in the catacombs, Veronica?
I didn't. That was the only other thing that was kind of high on my list that I didn't get to do. Mm-hmm. So that's a bummer, but.
Another reason to go back, I guess.
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Here is a call from Steve Brown.
Hello, the cast list. This is Steve, and this is for TWDDDTBOC episode 5. Okay, so they showed us Cadrone in the previously on. So does that mean that Cadrone might still be alive? Oh, meanwhile, yep. Back with Falou. Wait, how did Cadrone find Falou and them in this place they're hiding? What? Okay, sure, Carol. All you got to do is explain to Ash that you lied to him, tricked him to bring him here so that you could find Daryl and this anonymous boy.
No problem.
And, okay, whatever. Okay, Carol's now admitting to Daryl that she lied. And I realize this cold open is going really long. Okay, and Daryl just cold-blooded murdered this guy that Ash strung up for some reason. Okay, so now we've got everybody back together. Carol and Daryl, Laurent, Falou, Cadrone, they're all in the same place. And of course, Lo Sang is heading towards them, right? Oh, and Ash is trapped in a car. How does Laurent even have a concept of going to see a movie, riding a bike? I guess people have told him these things, maybe? I don't know.
Good question.
This is a weird conversation between Daryl and Laurent about taking him back to America. But Laurent, I don't know. He gave him back the Rubik's Cube, too. So I guess that's a good thing. Hey, so they're just going to assume that this guy at the Moulin Rouge, what is it called? The Demi-Mock? I don't know. Is going to know where Ash is. Oh, and they recovered the Mona Lisa from Genet's palace, wherever. And of course, everybody knows that an airplane landed outside of the city, apparently. Nobody found it. Of course, Lo Sang knows where this place is. It's one of his places, right? Basically, he shows up here to get Laurent. So the woman from the club just gave them a vehicle and weapons out of, what, the goodness of her heart? Oops, Laurent left his Rubik's Cube out for just anybody to find. Carol and Daryl, are they back at the nest? Oh, okay, I guess they're back at Janae's headquarters for some reason. Now Carol and Daryl are in the car? You've just fought your way through all those walkers just to trap yourself in the car. Hey, so what deus ex machina just showed up to save them? But the two super walkers just killed all the other walkers? What? I can't even figure out what just happened. Hopefully you'll be able to explain it. Okay, I don't know what just happened, and now we're back at the plane, and what? And Daryl's just going to find some fuel, and they're going to leave. Oh, Lo Sang's here at the club. Not good. Okay, Cadrone is taking out all these guys in the tunnels. Where's Daryl? And he hid Laurent and told him to wait? Sound familiar? Oh, so now we have this showdown between Daryl and Lo Sang. Stick versus flail. For Morningstar, what is it? Okay, so Daryl just crushed Lo Sang's skull with a skull. And of course, now Ash is... Carol, I don't know what you thought you could accomplish by telling him the truth. I mean, you had to, but still. Yep, I think you guys called it. There's way too many of them to be able to fly in this little plane. Or at least according to Ash. Okay, I don't know how you're going to explain this ridiculousness, but you've already recorded it. It's on my player, so I'll listen to it. And then can't wait to hear everybody else's feedback. All right, next week, the season finale.
No notes, Steve. I agree with all of that.
I kind of, I've been putting things at the end sometimes, and at the end of our podcast, we're like, don't get bit. And then I put in you saying, I fucking hate Rubik's Cubes or something like that. But I kind of think it's a good little signifier of Laurent, you know, because it's about being smart, but it's toy. So it's about being young.
Oh, God, if I die, that's what they're going to put on my grave.
One of my friends has a son that's real obsessed with Rubik's Cubes, too. And so that's like believable to me, I think, just because I know a little kid who, if there was a Rubik's Cube laying around, it would be like, oh, that's
him. Yeah. I was obsessed with them when I was a kid. They really got popular when I was a little kid.
I actually brought him one with the Eiffel Tower on it that I bought on the Eiffel Tower, a Rubik's Cube. So.
Blink twice if the kid is French. And if he's special. Oh my goodness. Okay, I've got Andrea Abarca, who says, hi, Jason and Lucy, hope you're well. As always, I was happy to hear your voices on Monday morning, particularly this Monday morning, as I was feeling terrible and you guys always make me smile. Anyway, I was writing in to say how very much I loved this episode. I especially loved the interactions between all the characters, and I felt all the actors brought their very best for this one. First, of course, there are the interactions with Daryl and Carol. I just really love them, and it warms my heart to see them together again. I love when Daryl called her out for lying, and their kicking zombie butt was exciting. I wanted to point out something about the super zombies. In season one, when Daryl was in the Gladiator Arena, they injected one of the zombies and released it. It went after one of the other super zombies instead of him.
Really? I didn't remember that.
Yes! Andrew, you're so right. It went after the other super zombie first.
Cool. Continuity. I like it.
So I think Daryl was taking the chance. When Carol asked him, do you have any ideas? Daryl said, not any good ones. So he was well aware it could backfire, but I believe that's why he did that.
Absolutely.
Of course it was going to work. Plot armor and all that, but still it was cool. In the segment after the show, they showed behind the scenes and Norman was in the middle of the zombies throwing fake blood on them. Cute and funny to see. Daryl and Laurent. I thought the scene was beautifully filmed and the two of them were just so touching. I know maybe Daryl should have said something, but if you look at his face, he's clearly ready to cry, so maybe he just couldn't find the words.
Yeah, I agree. I'm glad he didn't say anything because I was really feeling something without him having to say it.
Carol and Ash. The actor who plays Ash was so good in this interaction. His anger and despair and hurt at being lied to and Carol's response were just both so genuine. Great scene. Also, I love the fight in the catacombs. As someone who practiced martial arts for years, I think it is believable that Losan could give Daryl a good fight. Finally, I'm glad they changed Cadron. I actually really like him. Oh god, that can only mean trouble. There were some scenes for next week and he's in a couple, so I guess we'll see. Kind of sad to see it's ending. By the way, I've attached a photo of my mum and I after going to early voting. Thought that would make you happy. Thank you as always, mes amis. Oh, and Andrea, you and your mum look adorable.
That's awesome.
Look at those grins.
I know.
And you voted. Well done. That's amazing.
Justifiably proud.
Oh, absolutely.
Thanks, Andrea.
Oh, tell your mom we said hi.
Danielle Dement Jose says, I really enjoy this episode. Not that it is a surprise to anyone here. I actually loved last week's episode, although I cringed when Carol said a feeling came back. That was really terrible. The rest I was okay with. We forgive some clumsy storytelling on The Walking Dead and always have. But do you forgive Carol going in and killing, leading zombies into a group of innocent people and then killing them for no good reason? Yes, we do. Action, fantasy, sci-fi, horror, and fiction in general has always required suspension of disbelief, and I'm a bit more forgiving of these types of things than some others, I guess. Shrug emoji. This week, I was a little confused about how the walkers surrounding the car exploded, and I was hoping for more explanation about that. They're blood bags. In regards to your question about whether the zombies attack one another, they do. We saw this in season one when Daryl was put in that gladiator type environment and one of the enhanced walkers attacked another walker, which was really fucking cool. Man, I totally forgot about that. I'm glad you guys brought it up. I thought that was what Daryl was setting up by injecting two of the walkers in this episode. Yeah, that is what he was setting up, but that's not really what we saw. So I remain a little confused about it, what exactly happened. Regardless, it was a really cool scene. I think that's exactly what we saw. He shot the super zombies thinking that they would attack the other ones, and they attacked them so hard that it came off like they were exploding, but they were just, you know, slicing and dicing at them and their blood splattered all over the window. I think that's what the idea was.
Yeah.
I didn't get the chance to send in feedback for the episode last week and wanted to address Daryl's response to Isabel's death. He's always guarded his heart to an extreme. Allowing himself to love anyone was difficult in the beginning, and he's still very cautious about it. I do believe he loved Isabel, but he has not even admitted that to himself, so it's not surprising that he's struggling to express it openly. I mean, yeah, but just when we're all sort of feeling the sting of it feels like Carol replacing Isabel, and then he's like guarded as usual with Isabel, but when he sees Carol, he starts crying like a baby. Then it's a little bit like, well, he's open sometimes.
Yeah.
She goes on. He never told her he loved her. And this week he was given a perfect opportunity to tell Laurent that he had loved her, but he let the moment pass. He's not admitted it to Carol or to anyone. And I think he's doing some soul searching about whether it's worth it to let people into his heart. As for his immediate response to Isabel's death, I think he's very good at compartmentalizing his feelings, and he knew that he had to focus on finding Laurent and safety. He needed time to process his feelings and will express them or suppress them going forward, but he definitely needs time to sort them out for himself first. Back to this week's episode. I know Carol told Ash she was looking for Sophia, but I don't think it was explicitly stated that she was not also looking for Ed. It doesn't seem completely believable that Ash never considered that there may be a man coming back with them. That's why I said plot hole. It seems like he would have clarified how many people the plane could hold prior to agreeing to the mission. Absolutely. All in all, this episode was an enjoyable watch, and Laurent continues to grow on me. My biggest gripe is how much it damages the story knowing that Carol and Daryl will be in Spain next season. How/why they end up there remains to be seen, but the fact that we already know they do not go back to America this season is really a pretty huge spoiler, and I wish they'd kept it to themselves.
Yeah,
I guess so. I mean, I think it's pretty ridiculous that Daryl would ever end up in France in the first place, and it's also ridiculous that they would now go to another European country, but that's what the show is, and I'm loving the ridiculousness of it personally.
And maybe there's sailboats in Spain, so it's all right. Gonna connect.
They need a sailboat. All right, here is a call from Robin. It's a bit longer, 6 minutes. Here we go.
Oh, wow.
Bonjour, mes amis. Bonjour. C'est moi. Zut alors, il s'est passé tout le monde de choses. This episode was packed full of stuff that happened. I'm just going to come out and say it, and I'm going to just say it. The stuff with Carol is stupid. Her lie to Ash about Sophia was stupid. Her evasive explanations to Ash are stupid. It was stupid bringing her on board. They have derailed the whole thing, I think. They don't know what to do now with all this stuff that's happening because of Carol. It was such a good show before, and now it's just all over the place. So Ash was unconscious in the car for 2 days. Did anybody get the sense that it was actually 2 days that he was unconscious in the car? And that seems like an awful long time to me, but...
I don't think he was unconscious, but he was stuck and dehydrated, as Carol said.
I don't know. And I'm confused about the exploding walkers. How were 2 exploding walkers able to kill all those other walkers? There were so many of them. I guess I didn't realize that could happen. And then when he's rightfully yelling at Carol about the fact that she lied to him and that then says, well, you know, we're not going to make it back with these people. Did he never think that Ed might possibly be coming back with them too? And that after 13 years, Sophia would be a grown woman, much larger than Laurent? I guess I'm not really sure. You know, he explained, well, you made me want to live again, blah, blah, blah. But it seems like he would have thought about all that as an experienced aviator, but I guess not. I was certainly sure that the woman who was taking charge at Falou's place was going to be egregiously killed, just like they egregiously killed Olivia at Alexandria, but thankfully she survived. That was great. The showdown, the obligatory and expected showdown between Losang and Daryl, really didn't have an awful lot of tension because it was, you know, Daryl. But when he was down, I did say, oh my God, Daryl, come on. Cause I was sure that he would probably get whacked really hard and it would make at least the showdown at least a little bit interesting. But you know, the skulls and stuff were super cool. That was, that was really amazing. So now Losang is gone. Who's going to be the new bad guy? Is it going to be the Demimonde girl, Anna? Because she certainly has the edge that she could come in and take over as being, you know, the enemy. I did love the fascist comment, although knowing that this was probably filmed in about, you know, like a year ago, it probably doesn't really, you know, it does make me happy to think that they were doing a little nod toward, you know, current politics, but, you know, of course they weren't. But she has certainly changed the Demimonde vibe. It's definitely not Cabaret and the Kit Kat girls anymore, you know, laughing in the face of danger and, you know, the destruction of the world around them. But I had to laugh. I'm looking at the costumes and I'm like, I really hope that when it goes to shit, which it invariably will, those girls have some other clothes near the door that they can, the exit that they can grab on their way out. And those shoes are definitely not grandma approved shoes that you would wear to be able to run away in an emergency. My grandmother always said, always wear shoes that you can run in when you're on a date. So I'm hoping all those, I guess, I don't know. Are they drag queens or are they girls? I don't know. Doesn't matter, but I hope we don't lose them. Laurent, love him so much. I love Laurent. He is just the sweetest, most wise, most amazing kid. I didn't have any sons, but I have a grandson and a nephew, and I'm here to tell you, and I know you know this, Jason, boys can be the sweetest, most amazingly loving creatures on the face of the earth. They're so great. Loved the conversations between him and Codron and between him and Daryl. Codron has turned into a really interesting character with his change of heart. I think they did a really good job with that. And then to contrast that with Daryl, who has not changed at all, sitting there on the edge of the bed with Laurent, who tells him Issa loved him. And Daryl has had no growth and is unable to say anything about her, let alone I loved her too, and mm-hmm. and try to help Laurent with his grief. I'm disappointed in that. They missed a real opportunity to give Daryl a little bit more dimension. But, you know, they didn't, I guess, I don't know. Je ne sais pas. So does Ash end up taking Laurent back to the United States to replace his dead son? Because we know that Daryl and Carol stay there because we have the Spain spoiler. But then the question becomes, you know, why would Laurent go with him? He barely even wanted to go with Daryl, unless Daryl promises he's going to get there somehow. I don't know. I think it's a little bit of a problem that they have with him, and I'm 100% sure that they would not have the nerve to kill him. Although, as I'm saying that, I'm thinking they definitely have the nerve to kill him, which I really hope doesn't happen. That would be very bad. So a mixed bag in the episode. I have mixed feelings about it. Some of it was really good. Some of it, you know, not so much. But I'm sure we'll talk again soon. A bientôt.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
I mean, it seems like Jacinta's going to be the bad guy at least for another episode. You know, yeah. The Losang second in command. But when they move on for season 3, I feel like they'll probably, it could be her, or they'll find someone. I don't think it's going to be Anna from the Demi-Monde.
No, I think that felt like a goodbye to that storyline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But when Robin mentioned Laurent replacing Ash's dead son, that made me think, oh, I hadn't thought about it that way. Maybe that gives that theory even more possibility that they'll go off together.
Yeah.
That was all the messages we got for this episode, but there were a few that didn't come in time for last week.
Okay, so we've got from Maria Pereira Granada. Hi, Maria. This is for episode 4. As much as I love Carol, I felt that Isabel was killed off to make room for Carol. Reminded me of how in Fear they got rid of Madison to make room for Morgan. It felt a little weird to have Daryl and Carol together again in a different setting. But that's probably what they wanted us to feel. I did love their hug, reminded me of their reunion after Terminus. I think the old couple was there to mirror what they would be like as a couple. I thought they were cleaning house with all the characters and Losang was going to be killed too. Didn't see the merging of the two groups. And Janae's death was brutal, though she literally got a taste of her own medicine. And they tricked us about Carol knowing Rick was back. Looks like she left before he returned.
Or she's lying.
Yeah. Tam Gravenal says, hey, Lucy and Jason. So this week's viewing was a bit different for me. Usually I'll watch, then listen to your recap, just like everyone does, probably. But yesterday I couldn't be bothered. Oh, sorry. Yesterday I couldn't watch it normal as normal, and I'm not a patient person, and I think surprises are whenever they occur. Spoilers don't bother me. So I listened to your podcast driving home before watching episode 4, and thank fuck I did, because I am mad Isabel died and glad our double trouble Daryl and Carol are back together as it should be. I also had to find out who Negan killed before the show aired here. Yay, the internet. I agree with you both about the way this episode was written, and I think that somehow knowing the main two things that will define it, I watched a little differently. So when we were taken through the weird walk of messed up walkers and crazy states of arrangement and the exploding Janae, I must have said that's creepy at least 10 times instead of dwelling on the way so many boxes were ticked off, because it felt like they started panicking they were close to the end of the season. It's disappointing how some things are wrapped up in a bow too quickly. All that aside, I do love the show and the characters, who I do want to have a happily ever after in Alexandria with another long table lunch. Thanks as always, Tam from Perth, where a Judith spin-off would be just silly. Tam, I'm really intrigued if it's Perth, Australia or Perth, Scotland. Both are great.
I think it's Australia, but I'm not sure. But I mean, Daryl in France, silly. Judith in Perth, silly. Do it. I say do it. All right, here is a call from Claire.
Hi, Jason, Lucy, and everyone else. Claire. It's Claire. I haven't called in or written in, I don't think, about the Daryl Dixon show, but I've definitely been listening and totally, for the most part, loving the show. I think they really did something special and different, which is hard to do after being in this universe for so long. But anyway, so I kind of have a lot to say about everything, mostly this season, but I am just, I'm sure like every, many other people, I'm just really disappointed to see them get rid of Isabel, seemingly replace Isabel with Carol. I don't understand why they did that. I feel like it's been so weird with Daryl in these almost romances. I mean, he's had, there was Carol in, you know, season two way back 100 years ago, and then Beth, and then the awful Leah, and then Connie, and then Isabel. And right when they kind of give us what we've always wanted for Daryl, they rip it away for what seems like not a good reason. She didn't even really, you know, have like a good death. It was just seemed so meaningless. So I'm just really confused with what they're doing with Daryl. So I'm really disappointed to see Isabel go. And I really liked Clément Possier. I think, I don't know how, if I'm saying her name wrong, but right. But I thought she was really just, I don't know, layered and a great actress, a great character. Yeah. I mean, come on, Daryl fell in love with a nun and he got a nun to fall in love with him. That's pretty amazing.
Truly.
Actually, on a side note, I have an uncle who was a priest, and he ran away with a nun and they got married and had two kids. Anyway, moving on. I also was really disappointed to see Janae go, and I thought she was a really great actress, who played her, and a really fun villain. Even though I think she was a little cliche, I still thought she was, I just really liked her. I just really connected with her as a villain. And so I was really sad to see her go. And then I can't remember his name, the cult leader. I don't know. I'm not interested. I'm not that interested in seeing where this plot with them, the cult, goes. I don't love the direction it's going in. And I don't know. One other thing I wanted to say, just complete side note, Laurent, I am a middle school youth pastor. So Laurent seems like a totally normal, weird kid that is, I've literally had like kids hiding under sofas, chewing on their sandals at youth group. And so, yeah, it's kind of an awkward age. And Laurent seems like he'd fit right in at our youth group. So just thought I'd kind of call in and give you my rant about everything. I love hearing what you guys have to say. You're killing it. So God bless and don't get bit.
Oh, it's so Claire. Good to hear from you, Claire.
She got me thinking about sort of the way that Isabel died not being satisfying and not having a good death. And then also just kind of on a bigger scale, what was the point of her character if she was just going to die that way? And I don't know if the writers of this show are similar to the writers of The Walking Dead proper, but they used to always say if someone's going to die, especially a bigger character, that it should have ramifications and meaning for the other characters in the show. And I think the writers of the show probably do feel that way, because they specifically had Isabel say to Daryl, please make sure that Laurent is taken care of. You know, that was like her last wish. And so now we see Daryl is really pushing hard to stay, have Laurent stay with him. So I think that's in part, I think it is because he cares about the kid, but also he just wants to honor Isabel's wishes. So that's sort of how her presence in his life and then her death has meaning going forward, I think. Whether we find that satisfying or not, I think that's what the writers were going for.
It's a very human thing to do, to try and make sense in chaos.
Yeah. So I do usually consider myself a human, so that's good. So, yeah, sometimes. Dina says, hello, Jason and Lucy. If you don't want to read during episode 5's feedback, I won't be offended. My family's sick of me yapping about it, and I must share with someone besides my cat.
We also have Dina's cat wrote in and said, please read Dina's message. Please, I can't please, listen to anymore.
Hiss, hiss. No, I'm just kidding. I have a shift in perspective about last week's episode. Another listener pointed out that Daryl didn't have time to grieve because they had to get out of the nest. True, I was too pissed to acknowledge that. He did have time to cry like a baby when he hugged Carol, though I'll just point that out again.
Yeah.
I do hope that Daryl's learned over the years since Beth died to process his emotions. Don't want to put a cigarette out on his hand again. I don't remember that. That must have been something.
I think it was around the time of Sophia.
Yeah.
I remember him doing that.
Oh, gosh. On second watch, I see that Carol was trying to draw those emotions out of him. We're taking Laurent with us, he finally proclaims. She recognizes his roundabout way of processing things when she says, you love her, while beaming at him like a proud mama. It did help dispel some of the animosity I had towards the whole episode. That's good. What initially blinded me was her constant prattle about how Connie and Judith miss him, almost trying to make him feel guilty in the latter's case and reminding him that he had a romantic love waiting at home, breezily replacing Isabel for the first time in the episode. When she said, mentioned Connie, I just thought it was like, you know, who just sort of thinking, okay, who are Daryl's friends, you know, and she's definitely one that he had a connection with, but maybe you're right. Maybe it was more about that. She goes on, I no longer think this is the case. Maybe she was just being overly cheery to force those feelings out of him. Maybe you're too much, she mutters, meaning that unearthing the grave where he buries his emotions is exhausting for her. Interesting. Carol gives him Judith's angel carving, not to remind him that he has duties back home, but to offer him solace when she knows he most needs it. Do you know the prayer with the line, there are four corners to my bed, there are four angels round my head? A child's prayer for him, carved by a child, to remind him of his own angel's wings that he's packed away. Apologies that I'm writing about last week's episode. It stung and it lingered. I'm done mourning, and I'm now probably just trying to convince myself that the show is still worthy. Here's hoping that tomorrow night's episode, well, let's just say I don't want to be forced into switching to Spanish wine prematurely. Well, I do wonder, now that you mention it, I don't think I saw anything from you, Dina, on this week's episode, so I'm curious what you thought of it. I hope you let us know.
Yeah.
All right, and then we have a comment from Jennifer McGinley.
Yay.
Guess what? I quite enjoyed this episode that everyone else is shitting on. I know, I'm as shocked as the next guy. I think that what's happened is I've finally managed to move right into the Department of Suspension of Disbelief with all my clothes and belongings and can stay there till the end of the series. I think, like, I don't hate that plan. I mean, I feel like I would rather enjoy the show than being annoyed at it. So maybe I'll follow suit.
Yeah.
Episode 2 and episode 3 were so bad, and the whole thing about being in France in the first place, that I finally managed to get on board with and try to enjoy this Walking Dead companion show for what it is, which is a load of shite. It's Walking Dead shite, and therefore my shite. Daryl Dixon was looking surprisingly hotter, particularly in one scene where he moved the hair from his eyes and his face was all dirt, bloods, and cuts. Yum, yum. Yes. Yes, Lucy, you are spot on. I like a certain kind of man. Anyone who knows me well will say, oh, you don't like so-and-so. Not, I think she would say manly, but it says manky.
No, manky. Manky is a Scottish word for dirty.
I love that. I'm going to start using the word manky.
Not manky enough for you.
Not manky enough for you and such like. I'm glad I got to read this one. I really love your phrasing of everything. I loved Carol and Daryl meeting up. Yes, it made my cold heart lukewarm for a wee second. Most of the shite amused me this episode, whereas in the others, they annoyed the life out of me. Maybe Jason will get to the stage I'm at now that he's had his I've had enough stage. Wait, okay, yeah. So maybe you're ready to move on from I've had enough stage.
Yeah, I am so far.
Glad to see the back of Janae, but she's not gone. Noticed the lack of head kill myself and thought, oh, that's why they're killing her off so early. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand the old man turning traitor. Is that what happened? How did it happen? And why didn't his lady friend know about it?
Because when Daryl and Carol first approached their place, some of Janae's people were there and the old couple were giving them food, vegetables and fruits or something, just like they were saying the Nazis did back in World War II. And I presume during that exchange, that's when this guy colluded with them because I'm sure they were asking him, have you seen a Mankey guy?
Mankey man.
And he was probably saying, yeah, if I see him, then I'll keep him here for you or something.
I'm literally writing that word down on a post-it note for myself.
Amazing.
Okay. There's more to the comment. So, LOL at the Rubik's Cube being left. Well, not left. Hidden in a place Daryl knew where to look, and in such a way that it left a hidden code telling Daryl all sorts of matters of great import. It's like the writers just don't give a flying 4X anymore. That is something I'm down for. Let's hope the last two episodes bring me not only moist loins. I don't know what saws means.
Sorry.
But a great deal of hilarity, because there definitely ain't going to be no satisfaction. Left the best till last. It wasn't a person. It was a thing. You can just imagine Melissa McBride and Norman Reedus out in the smoking area talking about it. Really? Oh, fuck. I was sure so-and-so put it there for a joke. You know, he's always pranking us. No, it's actually true. They actually think the 14-year obsessed fans will take it lying down, except that it didn't relate to a person, but a feeling. What, really? Yeah, it'll be super easy. Barely an inconvenience. In summary, I liked episode 4, ridiculously ridiculous and thoroughly enjoyable. Wonder what I'll think of episode 5. If there's one thing I'm consistent about, it's being fickle.
That's a great quote.
I love that.
Love y'all. Thank you for investing your precious time in entertaining your listeners. It's very much appreciated from all the way over here in North Britain, FKA Scotland. Good luck in your votes, people.
Oh, that was fantastic.
Aww,
amazing.
Jennifer.
Scotland has the best words for stuff.
I mean, I've stolen a couple. I used to work with a girl from Scotland, and so I say we a lot more than I ever would have said in my life. But man, this was fantastic. I wrote the word down manky. It's a post-it manky note on my desk now. I'm going to so use that.
Manky is great.
All right. That is our show, episode 609. Thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for writing in, especially Jennifer McGinley, but everyone else too. Next episode, Walking Dead Daryl Dixon Season 2, Episode 6, Au Revoir Les Enfants, which of course means Bye Bye Kids.
It's also a very good film, Au Revoir Les Enfants. If you want to write in or leave us a voice message about it, you can find all our contact information at podcastica.com.
While you're there, please check out our other podcasts. One thing I don't say a lot, but we on this podcast have covered a ton of movies over the years.
So many.
And if you go to podcastica.com, it has a really good search function. It only searches the titles, not the show notes, but we covered The Shining. I just had my kids watch Poltergeist for the first time the other night, and Bodhi was bored through most of it, but by the end he was getting pretty
how
into
old
it.
Are they again?
He's 7 and Nico's 13.
I was such a weenie at those ages. I know. Survived it.
They're desensitized because there's like freaky games and YouTube videos and stuff that they watch, but anyway, by the end I think they all liked it, but we covered that. Karen and I covered that at some point, so If you're ever curious if we've covered something, just go to podcastica.com and search for the title. If it's a zombie movie or a classic horror movie, there's a fair chance that we've covered it. Also, I'll mention that Strange Indeed is covering the Great British Bake Off, which has been another great season, and I see they just put out an episode recently. Ooh. This episode is made possible by Patreon supporters like Christine Center, who pledged their support at patreon.com/JasonCabassi. So thanks to Christine. I try to keep the exclusive content pretty regular. We have a few different Patreon exclusive podcasts. I'm getting ready to do a listener chit chat with Dodie, who was a minister of some sort, and I'm curious to ask her about that. Also, she's right now working in a movie theater. Even though she's retired, she decided to do that because she used to work in one as a kid, and so did I. So I want to ask her about that.
I love that.
Also, Penny and Becky Fenner Anderson and I are going to be doing a Zed Head show in a couple weeks here about our favorite 90 shows, our top five favorite 90 shows. Ooh, so I'm excited to do that one. So there's a couple things coming up. Plus, I think after this episode, either two or three of us that we haven't figured out yet are going to be recording a tangent time where we talk about job interviews.
Yes.
And we haven't really narrowed it down more than that, but I know at least my story will be pretty embarrassing. All right, that is our show.
Thanks for listening.
Don't get bit, Audrey Laurensin.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue one last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue one last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.